we do owe everything back to Christ. He paid the original debt. He bought sin through his precious blood. And as we're talking about that, looking at that truth this morning, something came to my mind, or something came to my attention a couple weeks ago. Out of the 10 years I've been here, I've never taught on tithing. Never one time. We have never passed a plate. I've never asked for a dime. And as I was looking through the scripture has a lot about what the tithe really is. And so, I don't want to cheat you out of any blessing. Amen? I don't want to take anything from you that you might have coming to you. And since for 10 years I've been doing this, I've never one time had a teaching on this subject. And so today we're going to be talking about not just tithe, but the grace of giving. And there's the law of tithing and the grace of giving. Yeah. All right? So we're going to talk about those two today. There's a law in the Old Testament that says you need to tithe the 10% of everything. But then there's a grace that God lays on a heart where they give not a tenth, but they give it all. Right? It's God's grace, and they give whatever God gave to them. Boy, that's much more than just 10%. Amen. 10%. That's what tithe means, is one tenth of something. It's a mathematical phrase that they used way back when math used to matter, before new math came out. Amen, brother math teacher over there. And so there is a real thing that talks about one tenth of something. But then there's the other side of it when we look at, as the song just said, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Understanding that is a much greater thing than just something that there's a law to repay. Because there's a grace in giving. And so, as we're looking into that today, the first mention of a tithe or 10% of something comes from Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. And to set up what's happening right here, Abraham's just come back from the war of the kings. All right, there's the king of Sodom, and they had been at war with another set of kings that had come down, and the king of Sodom was not able to conquer those kings, and Abraham took men, fighting men of his own people group, and they went and they fought and they got victory over the kings that had came and ransacked the land. And after that fight, and after he had come back, he had already made his mind up that he would not allow the world's system to pay him anything. And then he met this interesting character, Melchizedek. He's the king of Salem. And verse 18 says, the king of Salem brought forth the bread and the wine. Excuse me. So if you get the scene here, he's come back. He's already met with the kings. He said, I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to go and I'm going to trust the Lord God with everything I have. And then the king, the Melchizedek, this person comes up, and he is a king of righteousness. He's a king and a priest. And he supplies beverages. Wine and bread, right? He comes and meets him with a snack. You know? And so as he meets him that with the symbol of Christ, the bread and the wine. Jesus said, I'm the real bread that came down from heaven. He was a symbol of that. His blood was the blood, the wine, that would be the beginning of the new covenant. And Abraham, excuse me, breakfast keeps coming back on us. You got a drink right here. Pour. This happened here when we were worshiping. I sang and I got something caught between here and there. And it's still hanging. It's in Florida a few years back, they had those things on the voting. Chad. I've got a Chad stuff. So please forgive me through that. And in this account, Melchizedek, the king of peace, the king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine. And then in verse 20, he, meaning Abram, gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything that he had, a tenth of all. Abraham offered a tenth out of all that he had had to the King of Peace. This was a free will offering. This was years before the tithe was ever come up, before it was a law. Abraham had won this great victory, and because he had won that great victory, when he met the King of Peace, he said, I want to give to you. When you meet the King of Peace, when you meet Jesus Christ, isn't he worth giving back to?
Yes.
Isn't he? It doesn't matter where you got, whatever you got. It doesn't matter the battle that you just came through. When you meet the King of Peace one-on-one, isn't it worth giving to him? Amen? Our church, this body of believers right here, praise God, this is not a problem here, but it's a teaching that we need to have. Okay, so he gave unto him. The second time that this is mentioned, giving a tenth, is found through Jacob. In Jacob, Genesis chapter 28. And the story here is Jacob had just taken the birthright from Esau, and Esau and him had had this problem, and Jacob is heading to the land of, I believe it's Mesopotamia. He's going over to his uncle's house. He's heading out of the way of Esau. He's going away from the family, and on the way there, he came to a place, and it was towards the evening, towards the nighttime, and he put a pillow under his head, a rock, and as he slept that night, the Lord spoke to him, and he showed him some things. This is Jacob's ladder coming and going. So that's the scene that we're coming into and the things that we're going through. God spoke to Jacob a promise in verse 13. He says, the land where thou livest, to thee I will give it. I will give it to thee and to thy seed. So God spoke in verse 13 to Jacob. He said, Jacob, all this land that you're living here, I'm going to give that to you and to your seed. It's going to be yours. This is the promise that he gave to Abraham, that he gave to Isaac, and now he's giving it to Jacob. All right, and when Jacob wakes up, he says, indeed, this is the place of God. Something special happened here. And Jacob says in verse 20 of Genesis 28, and Jacob vowed a vow. And he said these three things. He put this list out. If God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, verse 21 says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And if all that thou gavest me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. I'll give a tenth back to thee. So when you look at what happened here, the whole situation, Jacob is in turmoil. He's leaving his dad's house. He had just cheated his brother. He's messed up on the inside. He comes to this place and he gets to the end of the day and he needs a rest and he lays down there. He makes a rock for a pillar. I guess that's where they make it a pillar. A rock for a place to rest his head. When he's there, God speaks to him in a night vision. He shows him some things. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you back into this land. It's going to be your land, Jacob. I promised it to your father and to your father's father. I promised it there, and it's going to be yours. And Jacob, when he wakes up, he realizes that he's been speaking with God. He realized that God gave him something precious. Reminds us when we come out of the darkness of our old life and into the light of Christ, we realize that God has been there. That we are in the presence of the Most High God, that he gave us our rest, and he gives us some promises in that. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He has a place for us. Jacob says, because he doesn't have the New Testament, he doesn't have a Bible at all, right? And so Jacob says in his heart, he says, listen, if God, if what I saw is real, if this is reality to me, I'm going to test it. And if God will do this, then I will be his servant. He will be my God. And he asked for God's presence. In verse 20 says, if God be with me. Think about that. Is God with you? Yes, amen. Is God with you? No matter what happens. Now look at what happens to Jacob's life after he goes to Laban. right? It doesn't look fun. Laban cheating, right? I want this wife, I'm going to give you that wife. I want to have this much heat while you can only have it. And there's a whole storyline that goes along with that, and you can read through it. And there's some fanaticings on both sides. I mean, it's spy versus spy almost. The Mad Comics, you know, it's that tit and tat kind of thing that's going on in their lives. But Jacob says, listen, if God's with me, all right, and if he will keep me in this way. Has God given you the way? Right? Did he not show you? He gave you his word to be a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. He gave you the way. He gave you the way of righteousness. Jesus said, I am the way and the life, way, truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through me, right? So Jesus gave you that. The things that Jacob was looking for, God has given to us. He's given us his presence, all right? He's given us to keep us in the right way. Do you know that God knows how to save the godly out of unrighteousness? He knows how to guide you. He knows what you need done to you in your personal life to bring you into a right understanding of who he is. Do you believe that? Now, Jacob didn't know the end of the story when this came up. He said, listen, if God will keep me, if he will guide me. See, we know the end of the story. Jesus came and he's keeping us. He's guiding us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He says so. Then he asked for a couple things. If you'll give me bread to eat. Don't you know God wants to give you some bread to eat? Will God tend to your physical needs? Amen? Yep. Right? Do you really believe that he'll tend to your physical needs? We're going through the study in the Revelation. There's some scary things that are going on, some confusing things that are going on there. Do you know that God knows how to keep you? Amen? He knows how to keep you. Jacob at this point in time didn't know how to keep. But God says he does know how to keep us, and he will keep us. Something else that he asked for is raiment. Will you put clothes on my back? Do you think God knows how to put clothes on your back? I think he does. Now, you may not be wearing the coolest kind of clothes, whatever. It might be a t-shirt. Who knows? But you are coming with what God gave you. Do you know that you have nothing? That think about this. Everything you have ain't really yours. You know, you may say, well, I bought it. It's mine. Well, who gave you the power to buy that? Who gave you the money for that? All these are scriptures we're going to get to. I'm just setting the framework for your mind. First, we ought to understand that God owns everything. Every molecule on this earth he created and belongs to him. Every ounce of gold, every piece of copper, every diamond, every piece of coal, every drop of oil, all the hairs on your head, they all belong to him. You have nothing. You really are nothing.
That's right.
But God loved you where you're at. He protected you where you're at. And he's going to guide you to where you need to be. Isn't that worth a tenth? Oh. Amen? Right? Isn't that worth something? I think it is. And a tenth is just a good place to start. Anyhow, Jacob, when he got to the end of that, he said, I'll give a tenth unto thee. Jacob said, if you'll be with me, God's never left you. He said, if you keep me in the right way, God said that he is the right way, he will keep it. He said, if you give me food, if you give me clothing and a place to live, all right, that bring me back to my father's house in peace. Oh, man, do you think God's able to bring you back to the father's house in peace? Do you really think, no matter what happens, that when Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, and if I went to prepare you a place, I'm going to come again, that you can be with me? Do you believe that? He's prepared you a place in his Father's house. So with a couple of understandings here, first is you own nothing, all right? And we are such weird creatures. We actually think we own stuff, right? I own my truck. Do you? I own my house. I own the clothes on my back. No. God loaned these to me for a short time. Everything's on loan. I don't own none of this. I may have bought it with money that he allowed me to have. Do you know all of the money you have God allowed you to have? Every dime, he gave you the strength to make the money that you have. He gave you to be stewards over the many blessings of God. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 6, verse 51. As we're going to look at those points right there. John chapter 6. Keep flipping by that. John 8, 9, 6. There we go. And so as we look at the things that God's going to keep you in His way, we already talked about that. God will give you enough food. And He says in John chapter 6 and verse 51 and following, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Do you believe that? A lot of people that was following Jesus in that time strove with each other. It caused conflict. We need to have faith in what the Word of God says above what the world says the Word of God says. We need to understand that God owns it all. He has everything in control, all of this. And so will God give you food? He is the manna that came from heaven. What do we really need? Do you really need the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts? All right, do you really need the food of this world? Or do we need the things that really are food? If you eat of this food, you're going to hunger again. You eat a loaf of bread, tomorrow morning you're going to be hungry. Right? But if you eat of what the manna that Christ gives you, guess what? You will be full. You'll be full. You'll have everything that you need. Jacob said, if you take care of these things, I will give back to you. In the New Testament, we have the after side of that. All right? We have God has taken care of all of these things. God has already prepared us a way. God has already given us the fullness of life. What Jacob was looking for was for the presence to keep us in the right way, to give us food, to give us clothing, to give us a place to live. God's taking care of all that. Jacob said, if you do this, I'll give you a tenth. Again, this was a free will offering. This wasn't a law. The law didn't come up of giving a tenth until Leviticus, until Moses came along. And God said, listen, and even thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think about this. It should have been in my scripture. But when God was preparing to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, right? And he said, Moses, what I want you to do is ask people, will they give? Will you give? And he asked for some different types of skins. He asked for all of the implements to build the temple of God, the tabernacle of God. And the people came and they said they would give. And they gave out of what they had. Remember when they were walking around in the wilderness, they really didn't have jobs. Right? They weren't making a living. They only had what they had that God gave them from the Exodus. Right? And so they're walking around and God said, listen, I want to make a tabernacle that I can dwell among my people. So God said, listen, will you ask people who will give out of their heart? The New Testament church isn't under the law of tithing. They're under the expectation of God providing something in the house of God, in the body of Christ. Because of our giving, we were able to give $10,000 away this past month. Because of the giving of the people. Because people gave, and we had bread in the house for the hunger that was happening in Kenya. We had bread in the house for the people that needed to go back over to Indonesia. We had bread in the house that we were able to give to other folks. And how did this building have the bread to give? Well, they had the bread to give because God moved on the people of God to prepare for the house of God to be able to reach out into the world with the grace of God. We can't do that without people giving. And remember, you don't owe it to God, but God expects it out of you. Jesus paid it all. How about all to Him we owe? Did God really meet all of your needs? Do we really understand the all sufficiency of God? I don't know about y'all, but when I did not give to God, my bucket ran out early. Every month, I don't know, can I get a witness of that? Anybody else, or is that just me? There was a time that I went to church and I did not offer unto the Lord the things that belonged to the Lord. And by the end, by mid-month, I wouldn't have enough money to pay my bills. I would run out quickly. And so I said, well, God said, try me in this. We'll get over this to Malachi in a minute. But God said, test me in this. And if you test me in this, see if I will not open up heaven and pour out a blessing on you you cannot contain. So I started. And I didn't start with 10%. I really didn't, because I didn't trust God that much. I said, God, you gave me 100%. I'm gonna just try this a little bit and let's see if it works. So I tried it a little bit, and it wasn't 10%. It was, you know, whatever I had in my pocket when the plate came around, I'd drop it in the thing. And I was finding out that the more I put in, the further the little I had would last through the month. So the more I gave, the longer the stuff that I had would last. My vessel of oil wouldn't run out. My grain wouldn't run out. I would still be eating the same, but I still had rice. I still had grain. I still had oil. So the more I gave, the longer it lasted. I didn't make more money. God didn't give me more riches of this world, but he had what I took, and he stretched it over a longer period of time, which, that's God. Because he didn't give me a raise when I started tithing, when I started giving back to the Lord. He didn't say, wow, I'm going to, look at Curtis, he's doing so good. I'm going to drop him an extra quarter. No. He said, whatever you have is not going to run out. He opened up the windows of heaven and he dropped a blessing on me I could not contain. Right? And it was not about getting back because I gave to God. It was taking what God had given me and it not running out. That's the secret of giving back to God. And I don't like to use the word tithe because that's only 10%. We give way more than 10% right now. All right? We do. I mean, not trying to boast or say anything about that, but anyhow, it's none of your business. But that's what I don't like. Can you tell I really don't like talking about this a lot? And the reason I don't like talking about it is you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. Right? And you may not think that you can make it. You know, I can't give to God because I won't have enough to get through. Well, the more you hold on to that, the less you're going to have at the end. The more you let go of that, the more you'll have at the end. Yeah?
I just think of a verse in Proverbs. It says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth.
Yeah.
And there is that withholdeth more than is needed, kind of the poverty.
Yeah.
You will withhold.
You want to hold, you're going to go to poverty, right? And if you want to give, you can't contain it.
It increases.
Yeah, it just gets more. I don't understand how that works, except God. You know, I don't know of any other system where you give more and you retain more. Only in God's system does that work. But when you do that God's way, guess what? It works, and it lasts, and it is... You end up with more than what you started with, although you didn't add any more to it, you took more away from it. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it and you haven't tried it, test it. Try it a little bit. See, we think that that we earn things, but we really don't. God allows us to do stuff. See, and especially in America, I don't know if this is the same in all the world, but in America, we believe what I buy, I own. Well, look at it this way. Everything's coming out of one pot. You don't even own the pot. You don't own the bucket. The bucket belongs to God. Everything in the bucket belongs to God. And he allows you to play in his bucket, but everything in the bucket is his. The IRS demands that you give 30%. Okay? They demand it. They don't ask it. You're going to give 30% or we're going to take what you think you own away. And if you don't believe that works, I tried running from the IRS. Okay? I got in trouble. They took a pound of flesh for the ounce that I owed them. God says, I'm not going to take it from you. I'm not even going to punish you if you don't do it. But if you do this, I will add to you. If you offer back to me a portion of what I have given you that belonged to me in the first place. The cool thing about God is He owned it all. Everything belongs to Him. We don't own anything in this earth. It's all His. When we get that right in our mind, then all of a sudden we're more free. You know, then you're not controlled by your stuff. You control the stuff that God allows you to be a steward over. And that's a good word, steward. Right? It's He allows you to play with His toys. Right? He allows you to use some of the gold that He put here. And in fact, y'all have heard me say this before. Gold, God thinks of it as asphalt. He paves streets with it. Right? It's gold to Him is nothing. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. If He were hungry, He wouldn't even ask you. He would just take something that already belongs to Him. He owns all the water rights in the world. All the waters on the world came with the world. We haven't made new water. It is all here to start with, okay? We have this understanding that we can own something. To really get this understanding about offering back to God the things that already belong to Him, it's one word, and it's called faith. Do you really believe the God of the Bible? Do you believe in His all-sufficiency? Do you really believe that there is nothing of yours here? You've heard me say it before, and I'll probably say it again. You'll never find a U-Haul following a hearse. Naked you came into this world, and naked you're going to leave. You came with nothing, and you're going out with nothing. The only thing that matters here to God is souls. You matter to God. Your neighbor matters to God. The only thing that we're going to bring to heaven is the crown of glory of witnessing and bringing other people to Christ. That's the only thing we're bringing back to heaven. God says, listen, I made it all. It's all right here in this bucket. I love you enough to let you play in my bucket. Right? And I just want to see if you really know me. That's God. That's the whole thing about the tithing giving back to God. Do you really know Him as God? Because if you really knew Him as God, you wouldn't have a problem giving back to the one who gave it all to you. Do you? If you trust Him in this. See, we trust Him in our salvation. Oh, yeah, God, You're able to hold my eternal soul, but You can't pay my power bill. Right? Wait a second. God is enough. If He cares for the sparrows, and we can go back to Matthew chapter 6, 4 and 6, 4, 5 and 6, where God says he owns all this stuff. The lilies of the field, the sparrows, He waters them, He cares for them, He feeds them. And you're worth much more than all that. The lilies that grow up, the grasses that grow up, the flowers that grow up that are beautiful today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire. God, He wants to clothe you. He wants to take care of you. But do we believe that enough to give the little bit that He's allowed us to be a steward of, just a portion of it back to Him? He doesn't ask the church for 10%. The 10% was a law that was given through Moses. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in fact, Jesus even talked about this. This is in my notes. I've gotten so far off of my notes here, all right, that I wrote. I've just been shooting from the hip. I hope that doesn't upset you too much. Jesus talked about this, Matthew 6:30, where if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and thrown and cast into the oven tomorrow, shall He not much more clothe you? God's going to take care of your provision. He's going to tend to you, the things that you need. All of the stuff that we have comes from God. No, I have it here. I just don't see it. Anyhow, the account is this. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling them, you tithe on the dill, you tithe on all these small anus. I call it dill, okay, because it's a lot simpler. It's a safer word for me. So, yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, on the mustard seed, on this little, you tithe on all these little, you give 10% of all these little things. But you forgot the weightier things of the law, of loving, of caring, of having compassion, of tending to the orphans and widows. You think that you've done something because you gave me 10% of a dill plant. God doesn't, he's a big deal, right? Big deal. He doesn't care for those things. God doesn't need spice in heaven. He doesn't. But the reason that they're supposed to give that 10% is that in the temple of God, the priest would be able to give out the things that were brought in. That's the whole reason that the tithe was a law. They didn't have government welfare in those days. So if you needed something, you had to come to the church. You were out of food, you're out of groceries, you had to come to the body and you say, listen, I need a pound of dill. I'm making dill pickles and I don't have any dill. Or whatever, I need cumin and I don't have any cumin at the house. My neighbor doesn't have any cumin. You could go to the house of God and get that necessity for your family. So when the tithe was set up back in Moses' day, the reason was that you could come and you could get what you need from the house of God. Well, in America, we've messed all of that up. All right? No longer are you able to get from the church. You go to the government. Ask Texas how well that's doing for them. All right? Think about this. All right? In that economic system that God set up about tithing, right? If everybody that was a Christian in Texas had, instead of giving to the government and letting the government give out stuff, been given to the body of Christ, how much water would they have today? Right? If everybody and all those mega churches out there just would bring in, for the last 2 years, everybody in church would bring one jug of water like this. Everybody in those mega churches would do that. Because one thing that I hear in Texas that's happening is they're running out of water because they don't have any. But over the last 2 years, if everybody who belonged to the body of Christ was tithing one jug of water, how much water would they have? For all the people that are in need right now, how much would they have? It'd be more than enough. They, instead of trusting the government to supply the needs, they would trust the body of Christ, which is a trustworthy thing. So that's what the tithe was set up for. That's what it was meant for. Unfortunately, we have gotten out of that, trusting God's body to take care of the people, the needs of the people. And now we're trusting the government to do things that they're just not capable of doing. Anyhow, Jacob said, if you'll take care of these things, then I'll take care of those things for you. I will give back to you as you have fulfilled your call in my life. God gave to him clothes. God gave to him cattle. God gave to him all those things. God gave to Abraham all those things, and he made a free will offering. When the people came out of Egypt, as I was talking a moment ago, and God said, I want to build a tabernacle, but I don't want to build it out of stuff. I want everybody who has a free will to give it. And when they give it, I'll make it. Exodus 25:1, I think it is. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of everything that, a free will, an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart, ye shall take mine offering. Then there's a list of stuff, okay? So in Exodus 25:1, God says to Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they bring a free will, a willing offering, that he wills it with his heart. And then there's a list of stuff that he asked, and when that stuff, and he says that the reason that he's asking for the things that I may dwell among the people. The reason God wants us to give back to him is that he can, that we can have a place to dwell. Where's the Holy Spirit live today? In and of us. In the Old Testament times, where was the Holy Spirit? It was in the tabernacle, right? And God said, listen, I want you to bring stuff that we can come together and meet the needs, that I will be with you. Now we have the Spirit of God with us, and he allows us to give back to him the things that he has given to us, that we'll be able to give that to people who are in need. Same thing in the Old Testament. God says, I want to have these things, I can dwell. How do you think the power gets paid here? Or even in your house, even if it comes down to a home church, right? And we're no longer to meet like this, we've got to meet in a home church. We still ought to bring whatever God gives us in that time into the storehouse of God. Because when it comes to the time that we no longer are allowed to have buildings like that and we go back to the home church thing, guess what we're going to need there? We're going to need water. You know what else we're going to need? We're going to need bread. We're going to need vegetables. We're going to need love suppers, you know, that go on all the time. When things really get back to the way they were, that tithe is going to be more, that free will offering is going to be more important than what it is today. Because we're going to have canned goods by the gazillions. Right? And I can't come up with a sensible number because I don't know what it's going to take. But if you're preaching the word of God, the people of God are going to come to you. And we may not be meeting in a building like this. We might be meeting in the basement of a barn because it's against the law to meet like this. And we're going to have to bring in something into the body of Christ that we can meet the need of the people. Right? Because that time that we come together, that might be the only good meal those people have until we meet again. I don't know if we understand that in our times that we're living in right now, but I think those times are coming. I really believe that meeting in a congregation like this is going to be scarce. But meeting in a congregation in the bushes somewhere, you know, or where you're meeting together in a small group, and you're feasting on the rabbit that someone caught on the way. Mm-hmm. You bring a can of beans from here, you bring a pot of broth from there, and you get together and you make hobo stew. Right? Mm-hmm. And the church is going to explode when that happens. Mm-hmm. Right? You're talking about an awakening in the last days. That's going to be what the awakening's all about. How will people know that you're Christians? By the way you love, meet the needs of each other. And when the body comes together and really gives back to God what God has given to them, regardless of how much or how big it is, guess what happens? God is glorified. God is glorified. I don't know if this is helping you or not. I mean, this body right here, we've never had to ask. God has always supplied. We always have a group of people here that has given, and they've given ridiculously. So I feel weird about even talking. I don't know if y'all can tell it, but my heart's not in this teaching. Yeah.
Don't feel weird.
Okay.
And also, let me add something. I just feel led, whether it's right or wrong, but I think God also has the ability to make things last, what you have.
Yeah.
Make them last. And what I just want to say anecdotally is that we had a car that we just sold a year and a half ago that I used as my airport car. I parked it at the airport for years. I'd be gone every week, gone several days a week, go to my trips, come back, it'd be covered with snow. It started every single time. My goal was to keep it 20 years, just to see if we could do it. And we just sold it on its 20th year, 20 years old, a year and a half ago. I never had an engine problem, transmission problem. It was as reliable. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's not just maybe God won't make you a millionaire.
Yeah,
but he has the ability to make things last. The car that we're driving right now is 12 years old.
Yeah.
My goal again is to keep it for 20. Just
20 years. Yeah.
Just because.
Just because.
Anyway, sorry.
That's all right.
Anecdotally.
Been driving the same mule for 20 years, you know, and hadn't thrown a shoe, you know. And as you understand what he's saying here, he's a man who has given his life and his wealth, or God's wealth, back to God. And God has taken an old beat-up car that, and he made it last, instead of 4 years, he made it last 20 years. When Israel was walking through the wilderness for 40 years, you know what? Their shoes never wore out. I don't know about y'all, but my shoes wear out often. God, he took care of it. He makes things last longer. Something else you ought to know is that if you sow sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. This I say, that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. A simple principle here: the more you trust God, the more God's going to allow you to trust him. He's going to give you more. All right, if you're sowing your faith out, and he's not just talking about financial stuff here. If you trust God, you put your prayer. How much time do you put into prayer every day? That can be sowing, right? You know you're going to reap a benefit from that. How much time do you sow in witnessing every week? You know that you'll reap. If you witness sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you witness abundantly, you're going to reap abundantly. And you may not reap it here on this earth. You might have to wait till you get to glory before the reaping starts. There's a lot of seeds that are planted that don't grow until after the farmer dies. Just some thoughts. This idea of reaping and sowing, this idea of tithing, giving back to God. Every man according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. That's verse 6 of the same chapter. God, he wants you to give, but not out of owing something. He wants you to give just simply because you love God. And he wants you to give ridiculously. Isn't that nice? Do you know that you can't outgive God? How can you outgive God when he owns everything? And he can make things abound toward you. He can make grace abound toward you. He can make your provisions last longer. He can make your car run for 20 years, 500,000 miles on one car. You know, he can make that happen. Do we believe that he can make that happen? Where's your faith in that?
That's the answer.
Yeah. I'd like to give you... Well, actually, God, let me give you all that I have that you might give me something with a little real wealth. There's something, there's God has more for you than what you have for him. So let me give him everything I have. Let me give it all to him, not a tenth. I want to give 100% to God. Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe, right? Do we, see, it's not about the number 10. It's about the number all. And God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need money. But unfortunately, money is what makes what meets the needs today. But there's coming a day where you're, and I think this is really close, that your dollar bill is not going to be worth anything. It's not going to be worth the cloth that it's printed on. It's printed on cloth, not paper. Or the ink that's on it. The things that are really going to matter is sweat equity. You know, that can of canned carrots. That little bit of something that you have that can you can take that handful of meal and make a loaf of bread and half of it goes to your neighbor. That's really giving to God. That's the things that he really wants out of us. I don't know, like I said, we've never had to ask for money. We've never spread, never passed a plate. What you got for that?
I'm going to say Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man finds it, he sells, gets rid of everything
else.
So he can get it.
Yeah. You know, and not to love this world. Not to love the things of this world. So the tithe. 10%. I think we can do it. I really do. I think if you can't live off of 90% of what you make, then you're making way too much. That means you have more stuff, more debt. The more that you make, the more weight it carries. You know what I mean? So what? I got all this stuff. I work all these hours, but I'm tied to that I can't even give back to God. The things that really matter. I don't know. So, like I said, I don't like talking about tithing. I really don't. I like to talk about giving because Jesus gave it all. I like to talk about how God has blessed you so much. And think about it. What would you give Christ for your salvation? 10%? Right? No, just a tithe? I mean, really, Jesus, God gave you the best gift, the blood of his only begotten Son. And really, isn't 10% the least you could do? I told Asha this morning, never let it be said I didn't do the very least I could do. 10% of your time? Thank you, God. 10% of your time out of 24 hours a day, that's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, right? How much of every day do you give to God in 10% increments? Do you spend 2 hours and 40 minutes in prayer a day? 2 hours and 40 minutes in studying the Word of God a day? 2 hours and 40 minutes in serving others in a day? Do we do that? I mean, that's 10%. And those are the weightier things that God's looking for. He doesn't care about 10% of your dill or your dough. Right? He's not over-concerned about that. How about 10% of pouring your life into other people's lives so that they might know the Most High God? That's a little deeper, isn't it? And that's just 10%. What do we do with the other? Whatever mathematical equation that comes up to. 22 hours. What do you do with that time? If we're always being conformed into the image of God, but we can't be conformed into the image of God because of the garbage we own on this earth. I'd really like to follow you, God, but my things have me weighed down. I really like to give back to you, God, because you gave so much to me. But I owe, so off to work I go. I have all of this weight on my all of this demand on me because I wanted so much stuff that I can't even give back to God. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Oh, but when you do give to God, what great things he does for you. Amen. Just thinking of some of this, 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store as God has prospered him. Wow, when? First day of the week, what day is that? Sunday. All right. Every Sunday, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God has prepared him, or prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So why do we bring to the church? We lay up in store so that when a need arises in the body of Christ, we can meet that need. All right? When somebody needs fuel oil, we ought to have fuel oil to give them. Or if nothing else, they can come and camp out here. You know, there's something we ought to be able to do for them. Malachi, I told you we'll get to this. Malachi 3:10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me, or test me now, wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour out to you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Look at what Malachi is saying, and look at what Paul is talking to the church. Lay up in store, bring into the warehouse, bring into the things, that I might have meat in my house. That there might be something to give. Now, we don't really do much food gathering here, but that's what he's talking about in those days. Because people didn't have, what do we call that, expendable cash?
Disposable income.
Disposable, that's it. Disposable money, that's the word. America's full of disposable money. So, all right, so look at it this way. If you're only thinking about bringing 10% of your income. bring all your disposable stuff. Bring all your trash to the house of God that I might have trash to hand out. It's disposable. How about bringing the things that really matter to God into the house of God? Your lost loved ones, your neighbors, your friends. The things that really matter to God. Now, I'm not saying this, that we don't want you to bring stuff in, because that's how we meet the needs of the people around here. Folks, I'm just so sorry about this sermon. I really feel horrible about this sermon. I really do. I don't like talking about this stuff. But as you bring things into the house of God, as you do these things, it says in verse 11 of Malachi 3, that he will rebuke the devourer, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, and all the nations shall call you blessed. Who wants some of that? Do you want God to rebuke the devourer for your case?
Yes.
Then bring your tithe into the house. All right? Do you really want your fruit not to fall on the ground before it's ripe? Then bring your tithe into the house. The least you can do, and I'm calling a tithe the least you can do, because 10%, if God gave you 100%, he's only asking for 10% back, that leaves you with 90%. I'm no mathematician, that doesn't sound fair to me. God gave you it all. All the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Wow. What a blessing of God. When we give to God, he says that all your neighbors are going to call you blessed. They may not like you, and they'll call you a delightsome land. When you walk by faith and not by sight, when you walk by giving to God, not all, not part, but all of what God has given to you. See, he doesn't need the financial stuff. He needs the real stuff. When you tithe, don't tithe on the little bitty bits and pieces that God gives you, but tithe on the heavier things. Love, compassion, faithfulness. Tithe on those things, man. Take 10% of your TV time, right? 10% of the things that you waste in this life and give it back to God. God's hand, it'll bless you. And because of those blessings, you will be an anointed person. And the world will see it. And like I said, we don't have that problem. What you got there, brother?
Would count your blessings singing?
Yeah, that would be fair. Count your blessings. Name them one by one.
Yes.
Count your blessings, see what God has done. Have
you? A lot of your sermon has been that. What our tithe has done, feeding a village.
Amen.
In Africa. It's just.
And those things are the things that are really important to God.
Yep.
He does say tithe. He does say tithe. He does say 10%. So I can't go against that because God says that, right? Abraham gave a tenth. Jacob gave a tenth. Moses, when he made the law, he said, give a tenth of everything. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, they tithed on a tenth of all that. But the things that really matter are the things beyond money. Count your blessings. Yeah. Anyhow, I don't know how to shut up. So I'm just going to try it, right? I'm just going to shut my mouth. I love you, and I feel like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers. It's just not comfortable for me to talk about this stuff. And it's because God has blessed us because we've walked by faith with God. It's not that we have earned any of this stuff. God freely gave it because we freely gave to him. When the time that I quit living for money and started living for God, all of a sudden I had more than I could contain. I don't understand how that works. But I know it works. And if you've never tried it, try it. Try to walk by faith and not by sight. Try to walk by giving and living and loving in Christ. And you won't have to worry about all these other things. You know, you didn't have to buy a car for 20 years. Think about that. You didn't have to buy a car for 20 years. Because you walked by faith. The people of Israel, they didn't have to buy shoes for 20 years. Their clothes didn't wear out for 20 years. Because they were walking with God. Because they gave what they had for the building of the tabernacle. And God was with them. God knows how to tend to you. Yeah, my brother.
How about all the accidents He's protected us from? We don't even know because He protected us. Not only car breakdowns, accidents, health problems.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Amen.
We don't even
You know. Didn't have a heart attack today. Praise God. You know? You know, those.
You don't even know.
Those, you don't even know. But I do know that God makes His blessing shine upon you as you walk by faith with Him. He protects you in the way. He brings you into the paths of righteousness. And all He's asking is for what He's invested in you to come back to Him. Right? What He has given you, He's allowed you to play with all of His toys. And all He's asking is for us to share it. Just share what God has given to you. And He will make you something much better than what we are right now. And I mean, like I said, when I say we, the church body, we're, I'm going to pat you on the back. You guys are doing really good, right? Mm. And you can tell that by the way that we're able to give. Anyway. The end. Yeah, you go ahead, brother.
You know, we talk about our the run of God and how our children are and all this.
Yeah.
Wednesday night was about 15 degrees out.
Yeah.
Blowing, carrying on, you know.
Yeah.
I went to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
There were 35 people there.
Well, praise God.
Out of 35 people, 25 of them were children.
Yeah.
Out in that cold for over an hour.
Wow.
Praising God.
Yeah.
Singing songs to God, prayers. You know, our children are our future, and they are there.
Yeah.
There's that remnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise God. And those are the parents of those 25 children that invested God into them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I guarantee you my grandparents weren't out there.
I was kind of by myself.
And so I love you guys. I love you guys. And it will be another 10 years before I talk about this again. All right, so I hope you enjoyed it. It ain't happening. So, anyhow, I love you. God bless. What you got? Let me just lift it up in prayer. Father, we do love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. And Father, as we come into this next week, Lord, we're seeking to be a blessing. Not to be blessed, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others. Father, that we can show your love, your grace, that we can give to the least of these, that you would be glorified. Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.